The following is a paid commercial program. The views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 100.7 WHUD or Pamel Broadcasting. Mahoney Asset Management presents A GPS for Your Finances, hosted by their president and CEO, Ken Mahoney, with his son, Connor Mahoney. Ken is a Hudson Valley resident and businessman with over 35 years of experience in retirement planning, the investing markets, investing strategies, and more. Every Sunday morning, Ken and Connor present this show to help you navigate today's complicated financial landscape, to make it easier for you to understand, and they answer your questions. Now, here's Ken and Connor Mahoney with A GPS for Your Finances.
Welcome to another edition of A GPS for Your Finances. I'm your co-host, Ken Mahoney, along with my son, Connor Mahoney, both of Mahoney Asset Management. Heard every Sunday morning in Westchester and Hudson Valley, right here on 100.7 WHUD. It's where Generation X meets Gen Z with questions and answers. Your questions and our answers. Now, we cultivate these questions throughout the week from clients, prospective clients, and through administrative staff. So if you have a question, we hope that we're answering the same question. And throughout the show, our goal is to simplify this complex financial world around us. So before we get into the questions, I thought it'd be a good idea to go through the week in review, and I'll kind of give you a shot at that.
The week in review. Okay.
Yeah.
So we had some pretty highly anticipated economic data coming out. So maybe a little bit quiet or anticipating that early in the week, and then it came out and it was GDP revisions higher, right? The PCE, was that personal consumption expenditure? It's like an inflation measure that came in line. And then jobless claims, which come out weekly, was it looked good, meaning like, you know, less people are filing for not having a job. So all data came in pretty good. Market still fell, not by much. There's just a lot of resiliency. There was one day it looked tough and then we bounced back. So I think we're here cooling off a bit, but it's still remaining pretty strong under the hood. Maybe it's just this little stair step down or sideways, which might be needed after such a big run after Fed Day last week. That was Wednesday the 17th, I want to say. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. And we had quarter end coming next week, too. So maybe we'll see some selling into that, some profit taking.
This year went by so fast to think about that.
I know.
And by the way, share their listening warnings since last week. You went to London, Paris.
Oh, I've been all around.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, London.
You got to see Messi play soccer.
Brussels and Paris, yes. And then I bought those tickets a long time ago to see Miami FC versus New York City FC at Citi Field. A lot of C's right there. And then Messi played and he scored 2 goals and an assist. If you're a soccer fan, you'll certainly know who that is. And that completed my soccer bucket list, I think.
Yeah, I watched Messi score 2 goals and an assist. So awesome, awesome. I'm glad you had a great trip.
Yes,
a trip
weeks
to London, Paris, Amsterdam, Belgium.
Gorgeous places. Yeah, they are. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, my week review kind of goes with a GDP revision. It is rear view mirror, but it's something to take a look at. His second quarter GDP first came out at 3.1%, then revised to 3.8, and now revised for its final 3.8%. That's quite a bit of growth. And the market didn't like that number. It's kind of good news is bad news. And it's something we do in our market reports in the morning. Connor filled in for me a couple times this week. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so GDP, that should be healthy. And it is healthy and it's strong. But with the Federal Reserve continue to cut rates and you have a GDP nearing 4%, inflation near 3%, my guess is still if they're really concerned about housing. They probably will. But definitely we had a couple. You said, you know, I call it kind of sea changes, kind of cross currents favoring some other sectors. It was really pretty volatile week, though the market really didn't move a lot up or down. But inside of the market, because of these questions about, you know, when they're going to cut rates again. Again, you get one cut and they're already asking for it. It's like a spoiled six-year-old. Okay, thank you for my candy and ice cream. I'm ready for my neck. That's how the market investors are. So we'll see what happens. But again, I like to think that good news is good news. We want good news to be good news and we don't need a bunch of rate cuts. The economy is holding pretty good. But 3.8% yeah. GDP is the final number for the second quarter. And that's a pretty strong tailwind for earnings growth for most companies.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. We want like, you know, the market viewed in some way that good news is bad news because that was less, you know, there's less likelihood of a rate cut because the economy is strong. I'm like, okay, shorter term, maybe it is quote unquote bearish for like those high flying stocks. They're not going to get more rate cuts and they have lower debt and yada, yada. And like a looser, you know, monetary system. But at the same time, it's like, no, it's like, this should be a good thing if we have strong GDP and it's particularly jobs. I mean, I feel like that's one of the most important things. the economy's not good if people are getting laid off. So we want to see that data look good, and the market should reward that more so than it did. But yeah, we got one of those weird cycles where good news is bad news because of how it affects rates.
And I think you're spot on for that, because like at the end of the day, someone, if you're giving a choice, would you have your job and a little higher inflation or have no job? And so, of course, we know where that goes. By the way, this is the first time we've been doing our show together, Connor, that you said yada, yada, yada. So you know what show that comes from?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Seriously, a lot of these baby boomers and Generation X are listening and they're going to say, I didn't do a good job with my, of course, I did a great job. But it's like, yada, yada, yada comes from Seinfeld.
Mm.
So the other sequences with George Costanza, like, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I woke up, I was tired. Like, oh, what happened? So funny, you said yada, yada. I'm like, wait a second. This is the first time on our show we had a yada, yada, yada. And yeah, the origin is Seinfeld. So there you go. Yeah. We learn something every time.
We watched Seinfeld a lot, actually, when I was like a teenager at home. And it's good stuff.
It's still good. No soup for you today, Connor. No soup for you. You know that one,
I think,
right?
One of my favorite things that occurs is just like Kramer, like blasting through the door. Just like that's just a really fun.
How many different times you get blasted through the door?
Yeah, though? Every episode, but it's just so good.
All right, let's grab another question before our first break.
Sure. Okay. So what is a starter position or dollar cost averaging?
Oh, that's a good one. A starter position is say, okay, I want to eventually own 500 shares of a stock, but I'll start with 100 shares. And I say that because it's so important. That's a really great question. And it comes up, you know, someone says, oh, let's just buy 500 shares and you're done. Nah, dollar cost averaging just means that. You could buy 100 shares. If it goes lower on you, you could buy another 100 shares. The problem, you pluck it all in at one price, now you're stuck with that price instead of flexibility. It's something we call tactical. And it's something I think we should pick up right after the break, because I think this is important for investors. Not just, hey, what stocks you buy or what stocks you sell, but there should be this kind of tactical way of entering into a stock, dollar cost average, and also dollar cost average on the way out, so to speak, in a stock that's going in your direction. We'll be back right after these messages.
It's Mike Bennett. I want to talk to you about Ken Mahoney and his book, Not Your Father's Retirement. You may have heard me talk about it before, but there's so much going on these days. It kind of reminds you of the song by Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire, right? Russia, China, higher inflation, raising rates, tariffs. I can't take it anymore. Where should you turn? Well, how about Ken Mahoney and his book, Not Your Father's Retirement? It's certainly not your father's world either. Each chapter builds on the next to put the pieces back like your father or mother's retirement was. The first 20 callers right now will get the book for free. 845-371-0101. That's 845-371-0101. This is Ken's most popular book. It's relatable, and it's not filled with financial jargon to just make you more confused than you were before. If you listen to Ken's GPS for your finances Sunday mornings here on WHUD, this is a perfect companion to what he covers. Take control and call for the book right now. Ken Mahoney's Not Your Father's Retirement at 845-371-0101. Here you go, one last time, 845-371-0101. You can call right now.
Welcome back to GPS Your Finances. So glad you're joining us here this early morning. And again, today's topic is your questions and our answers. But before we go there, we heard from Mike Bennett, our friend Mike Bennett, I should say. And he talked about my book, Not Your Father's Retirement. I want to get this out to the first 20 callers today. And I know you can do it. Here you go. 845-371-0101. I think it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you could join us, sometimes you can't, but it's all right there in those pages, building on your grandfather's retirement, grandma, just all the great things they have, like pensions, but what you can do to try to improve your results. Here we go. 845-371-0101. You know the saying, the early bird gets the worm. That's you. The first 20 callers, and you're up early. First 20 callers will get this book for free. One more time. 845-371-0101. And we'll be with you here every Sunday morning. So if you're driving around these wee hours, chances are you may be an essential worker. If you are, you know, starting a shift or ending a shift, thank you. From 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, I've called it the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Hour. And of course, I give the WHD Hudson Valley Index report every morning around 825 after the traffic on the Mike Bennett Show. And around 6:15, we got you the other way, coming home from Andy Bale Show. That's Bill Kugel of Mahoney Asset Management. He'll give you the national business news, what the indexes, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ did, or maybe what they didn't do. The local Hudson Valley business news that we created all right here, right here. Now, we consolidate all this information on our website at MahoneyGPS.com. Common spelling, Mahoney. MahoneyGPS.com. Now, again, I was just on TV last week, so our TV appearances are archived there. Radio podcasts like we have here, they're archived there as well. articles, newsletters, education, everything we could think of, we put it up on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. Check it out. And sign up for our newsletter. It's free. It comes out every Tuesday evening. That's it's a holiday. We don't bombard you with 6-7 different emails and, you know, a day. It's once a week, and we outline what's happening in the markets, and it relates to the radio show. So visit our site, MahoneyGPS.com. Right before the break, we're talking about tactical investing, or at least tactical of how to get it. Like, it's very common when someone's working at 401k, 403b, dollar cost averaging happens automatic. Is that you put $1,000 in a fixed amount each, let's say each pay period twice a month. And again, stocks go way, way up. You buy fewer shares, you know, that given payroll. Or, you know, when the market goes lower, those shares are, well, you can buy more shares. So kind of lets you kind of grab this, but you could do the same thing with stocks. And I think a lot of people just say, oh, I bought IBM at 275 and that's it. Like, okay, so that's the kind of line in the sand up or down, as opposed to start with a position, let's say 30 shares or 70 shares, and be consistent about adding into it when you have some, you know, some yeah. down days. So again, I'd like to hear your approach on, again, what we call, or most people in the industry
yeah.
call,
to go into what I think, what I like about a starter position, right? So say it's a $150 stock and say $100,000 account or whatever the amount is, doesn't matter. If you start with 100 shares, you will feel pretty comfortable with that. You should at least, right. you know, it can go down $5 or $7 a share, and you shouldn't be too freaking out because it's such a small percent of your account value moving. And I think that's a nice way to at least, you know, sit on a position. And you know, I just think sometimes when you go in too hard, or I guess that's one way to put it, you just put too much in at one price, you can right. be herky-jerky and you can get scared, or...
And then you get a lot of emotion around that
yeah,
price.
Yeah, exactly. You're watching it like a hawk. So, and honestly, a lot of the investing we try to do is also to help people's like mental status, I guess, yeah. And make sure, obviously they're looking for gains, but at the same time, you want to be able to sleep at night. And you know, you don't have to load 50% of your account into a certain stock to make money in the market. So we do think that the starter positions are really useful and cool way to just get exposure to something.
Right. To paper trade.
If it acts good, like you add, stock. Right? Like if it doesn't
right, but
act
once
good,
you own a stock, it's something like now it's more tangible. Now you're going to follow it more and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, years ago,
I'm saying if it acts well, right? Like it starts going up, you could add maybe 40 shares, and then you have 140 shares, and then it goes a little higher, and you know, you want to add on strength. And then if it doesn't work, you can cut that position, and you didn't get hit too hard in your account because you just had like a small position to start. So that's actually right. most of the time, that is the way we work our way into a particular stock is
you
know,
buy the stock and
buy,
then yada, 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 you know, yada. And
yeah.
Then
you don't buy 800 shares on you know, $200 stock right away. It's a huge position or whatever the case. It's just, that's just a good way. And that's how institutions actually invest. They slowly build positions.
Right. No, again, great explanation. Funny, years ago when I got my license in 1989, I just say 89, I have to tell Connor, it was 1989, not 1889, don't confuse it. But 1989, Mahoney Asset Management. But I think about the last number of years, again, I'm not going to change it now, but I like to think about Mahoney Risk Management. And so whether that's using vehicles that are guaranteed, or you know, or at least knowing what your risk or your downside is, and this, again, this example of tactical investing, dollar cost averaging, you know, that's really where it's at. So it's trying to control risk to the downside, yet leaving the upside available. So again, I wish hindsight 2020, I would have called ourselves Mahoney Risk Management, because that's what we do a lot. We want to close the door to risk with our clients and leave the upside available. All right. So what's your next question? Mm-hmm. That was a good question. Though we changed it a little bit, because I said we started talking about tactical investing. I think we may have changed the question, but
that's okay. What is a starter position or dollar cost averaging? Oh, okay. But we definitely covered it.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. And I think this is good to know for lots of people, because there's so much news. So how do I know what news or articles or happenings are relevant to my stocks or my retirement or my money in general?
Good question. Wow. So I'm going to give a shot, and then of course I want to hear what you have to say. So I'm going to start with, you know, if it change, look, the two biggest things about investing is where interest rates are going and companies' earnings, and everything else is noise for the markets. So that's my biggest test. So something comes up in some part of the world and it's really ugly and I can't stand it and I don't even want to watch it, but it doesn't really change companies' earnings or the trajectory of earnings. It doesn't really move the needle for us, you know, at least as far as, you know, the way we manage things. Now, if something comes up, some type of headwind that came up that no one expected, and it's going to erode corporate earnings or slow down corporate earnings, then that's something. So I know that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's why we do it. If, again, is it going to impact interest rates? No. Is it going to impact stocks? No. Ugly headline? No doubt. Really disgusting headline? No doubt. But that's why I always want to test whatever the headline is and test it to that. Is it going to change earnings outlook? Will it change interest rates? And if interest rates are going down and earnings are going up, well, you can see by the market, it's been the running of the bulls or the Energizer Bunny still going is the kind of way we look at it. But what do you think about that, Connor?
Yeah, no. I guess you kind of covered most of it.
Sorry about that. I jumped in for before you did.
No, it's good.
It's so important because I get that all the time.
Sometimes I don't have a lot to add. I think that was.
No, yeah. Like I get an email. Look at this article or look at this. And again, by the way, I'm human. Like I read these things. I'm like, oh, this is really not fair. This is awful. This is crazy. Yeah. This is, you know, something you feel in the pit of your stomach. And not to be callous about that, the headlines. But again, if we're going to keep our eye on the ball, we really have to see what headline and where that headline pertains to earnings or interest rates. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Ken Mahoney of Mahoney Asset Management has an exclusive free book offer for WHUD listeners right now. Headlines continue to talk about inflation and higher gas prices, war, elections. How prepared are you? Have you looked into this? Do you need more information? If so, call for a free copy of Ken's book, 10 Things to Do Before You Retire. The first 20 callers at 845-371-0101 will get the book for free. That's 845-371-0101. This is the last call for the book. This book will walk you through step-by-step to help you achieve your goals, even in a period of high inflation and nagging headlines. Each chapter builds on another and puts you and your loved ones in a better position. The book sells on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for $17.99, but the early bird gets the worm. So for the first 20 callers, you get the book for free. Call 845-371-0101. That's 845-371-0101. 10 Things to Do Before You Retire from Ken Mahoney, 845-371-0101.
Welcome back to GPS for Finances. Today's topic, questions and answers. You have the questions? I think we have the answers. You just heard from a friend, Mike Bennett, talk about my book, Not Your Father's Retirement. And I think you kind of get what that's about. But it's a perfect companion to what we do here every Sunday morning. Sometimes you can join us, sometimes you can't. Each chapter builds on top of each other. And here's the phone number once again. It's 845-371-0101. It's 845-371-0101. I think it's a perfect companion to what we do here Sunday mornings. As I mentioned, but remember, it sells on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for $17.99, but the early bird gets the worm. And that's you. I know you could get it. Here it is, 845-371-0101. Not Your Father's Retirement. One last time, pen and paper together. Here it is, 845-371-0101. If you are driving, stay driving, because the number you can get the book, well, that's a phone number, but we also give the website, MahoneyGPS.com, MahoneyGPS.com, and you can sign on and get the book sent to you as a paperback or as an ebook. And of course, we'll be here with you every Sunday morning. And if you're driving around these wee hours, thank you for the work that you do. So from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, I've dubbed it the Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Hour. Why not? And of course, I give the WHD Hudson Valley Index report every weekday morning, right after the traffic, around 8:25 on the Mike Bennett Show. It's in around 6:10, 6:15 on your way home. Yeah, the Andy Bell Show with our own Bill Kugel, Mahoney Asset Management. You know that Southern charm. You've heard that before. Well, he'll give you national business news, what the indexes did, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, local business news, and the Hudson Valley Index that we created for you at home. All this information and more, including my TV appearances this past week, contributions to articles that I make and write articles, all of it appears at MahoneyGPS.com. Check us out, MahoneyGPS.com. We have everything there from newsletters you could sign up for, educational articles. It's all there on our website, MahoneyGPS.com. Right before the break, we're trying to figure out what headlines move the markets, and that's a tight one. Okay, so we're
actually, I did think of one thing during the break there. It's like someone once texted me. I think it's my brother, because he's learning investing, and he's not involved in this. He does like IT stuff, but I've been trying to help him grow his accounts and yada 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 yada. There it is again.
Yada yada.
You got in the back of my head. It's ingrained.
You're gonna have to watch the issue. I'm sorry. You have to
Anyways,
watch the episode tonight.
he just sent. You know, I guess he owns some stock, or maybe it was like a big one, like Apple or Amazon or something large. He's like, oh my God, they have to pay like $3 million in like a lawsuit, like whatever their case was. I was like, dude, that is pennies to Apple.
That's a rounding error.
They have like billions and tens of billions of dollars. I was like, them putting $3 million out or whatever for a lawsuit, as much as it is to us, and it is a lot of money, like objectively. But to them, percentage of what their free cash flow, it's like nothing. I'm like, that's why you don't see the stock.
It's like 40 cents to us.
Exactly.
To your brother.
That is relevant to know, you know, how it, like you said, how it affects their earnings, how it'll affect their cash burn or whatever. So I thought that was an interesting example.
Yeah, right. There's just so many headlines and how to keep track of them. But that's definitely one way to narrow that down, because some of these numbers look huge, like $14 billion, you know, and NVIDIA is worth $4 trillion. So it's kind of right. Especially a lot of media appearances. I'll get asked those questions. I'm saying, to tell you the truth, it doesn't even move the needle. What? I'm like, yeah, because it's these are large numbers to begin with. And again, whether it's a fine or whatever the case is, I'm sure they probably would not prefer not to pay that fine for shareholders and so forth. But at the end of the day, it's a rounding error, like 0.00000001. All right, good question.
It's just,
all right, what else do you have in your bag of tricks?
Okay, so what do you think about the lump sum versus a monthly pension?
I'm going to let you tackle this one first. Lump sum versus...
I think we always like the lump sum for a couple of reasons. It's like one is if you sometimes if you get the pension, there is not always like a survivorship thing. So say your spouse may not get it if you had passed away. And also, it does depend upon the get rate, which is based on interest rates, I guess, how much they'll give you for the larger pension. But since rates are generally low, you know, we're at like 3-4% compared to, you know, say rents were 10, they wouldn't give you that much money. So we think they give you a lot of money in that case that you could probably invest and get returns on. And that could be your income more so than just the pension. And you'll have survivorship basically for good, because you'll have a huge chunk of money, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, yeah, because if you check the box in your pension and say, okay, I get 100% or 75%, or my widow gets 75% or 50% or whatever the case is, then it cuts into it. But, you know, look, everybody's different. And sometimes it's math. Let's say it was $100,000 lump sum or $5,000 a month. I'm like, well, you know the math on that. You should take the lump sum. And by the way, that never happens like that. That's just giving you the example. So definitely you have to kind of see the math and say, gee, if they're going to give me a pension that's like 10% a year, I'll take that. Oh, they're going to give me a pension that's like 2% a year? No, thank you. One of the biggest reasons why people, though, I think do take the lump sum over pension is, let's say they want a big chunk. They want to, I don't know, put an addition on a house. They want to help a grandchild.
Like newfound money.
Through college. I mean,
they earned it. But
well, you know, if you lock into a pension, you can't do anything. I mean, once you're locked into a pension, the way it works is that you can't call them and say, send me $50,000 because I want to buy this beach house, right? So the lump sum gives more flexibility. It offers protection. Then again, one really needs to do the math. I mean, we tend to think, for most people, the lump sum, the numbers work, makes sense, because you don't get a big haircut when it comes to your pension for life insurance and leaving a legacy. But the biggest one, I believe, is the more flexibility. So, oh, no, I probably only in 2 years from now, ooh, I need $40,000. You can't call your pension company and say, can you send me the $4,000 a month? Can you send me 10 months in a row? It's not going to happen. So be very careful. That's a really big choice, by the way, for investors when they get to that fork in the road. If they work for a company that offers, you know, this type of program, really do some math on it. Think through it. It's a very big decision.
No doubt.
No doubt. All right. We got time for one more question, looks like here.
Cool. How often do you see a client? Do you part-time work or consulting after retirement? And is that something everyone should consider?
I'm not sure of the question.
Do you part-time work or consulting?
I'm going to let you answer because I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
I'm saying, so
and yada, yada, yada.
Clients who are retired. Do you often see them do part-time work after they retire?
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. I'm sorry. Okay, so that's the third time. Sorry about that. So, you know, it's funny because we could do a whole program on this, you know, where, you know, retirement is a transition. It's a wonderful transition, but a lot of people don't really think about it. I've heard clients call and say, great, I got the numbers lined up. Now I'm bored. You know, I'm like, ooh, after a couple of months. So again, I think most people want to be purposeful. So in those retirement years, it's something maybe you would volunteer at a hospital. Maybe you do consult part-time from the company that you worked for. It sounds kind of odd. Or maybe not work at all, but you'd be surprised. I would say probably about 80% of the clients that we work with after they retire end up doing something, again, volunteer or whatever the case is, because, you know, we like human contact in general. Most of us do. I do. But I really think that that's important to know, that when it comes to retirement planning and the way it goes, it's not just about numbers. It's that transition. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're out of time, but hey, can we ping this question up for next time, for next week? Because I think there's a lot more.
Yeah, I think we could.
I only wrote like 9 books on that topic, Not Your Father's Retirement, and then GPS Retirement, all about not just numbers, but that transition. And I hope you enjoyed today's show. I always say, and it's true, this is my favorite time of the week to spend with my son, Con Mahoney. And until next week, I hope you have a happy, healthy, and a prosperous one.
You've been listening to A GPS for Your Finances with Ken and Connor Mahoney. Ken is the president and CEO of Mahoney Asset Management. This is a weekly paid commercial program, and the views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent any guarantee of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of 100.7 WHUD or Pamel Broadcasting. If you've missed previous editions of A GPS for Your Finances, you can listen to them anytime by visiting WHUD.com. Ken and Connor will answer your questions next week. Just send them an email, ken@mahoneygps.com, and listen for the next edition of A GPS for Your Finances next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. right here on 100.7 WHUD.